Welcome to another edition of Alumni Spotlight. I'm joined by Packers Hall of Famer Jerry Kramer. Jerry, welcome back to Green Bay.
Mike, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Now, Jerry, you're a native of Montana, and you went to college at Idaho. So what did you think when you were drafted by Green Bay in 1958?
Well, I actually was coming out of class, and my one of my teammates, Wayne Walker, who later played with Detroit for about 16 years, met me at class. You got drafted. Who by? Green Bay. Oh, that's great. Where the hell is Green Bay? So the first thing we did was go check the map, and it's by a lake, a big lake. Oh, it's Lake Michigan. It is a big lake. So when I got here and I saw the size of the town, I immediately loved it because I'm a small town guy.
Okay.
And it was comfortable for me. And the Packer fan was just astounding.
Tell us about the fans and the community when you played, and what do you remember most about it?
The first time I ever ran into a fan, I'd been here just two or three days, and I went down to Sherman's newsstand and cigar store downtown, and I got some magazines and maybe a cigar or two, and I walked out of the store, and there's a little white-haired lady with glasses and prim and proper and nicely dressed, and grandmother, and just a lovely lady. And, you ready for those blankety-blank Bears? Yes, ma'am. I think we are. Yes, ma'am. And I just was stunned at her language. She didn't say blankety-blanks. It's son of a remember that. And I'm going, wow. Wow. The Packer fans are in a category by themselves.
You played primarily guard on the offensive line, but you were also a kicker off and on throughout your career. Had you been a kicker growing up, or how did that duty come about in the NFL?
I was tied for a number of field goals in the nation. I was tied for third place my senior year in college.
Okay.
With three. We didn't kick a lot of field goals at that time, but I kicked extra points and field goals, and it was just something I'd done in high school.
Okay.
I had a coach that taught me how to kick, and so I just, you try to make yourself useful and a little more valuable. So when I came to Green Bay, we had a guard that was a defensive tackle and an offensive guard, so he could play two positions, and it made him, maybe if everything was equal, he might be a little more appealing than the other guy. So you tried to make yourself useful at that time. It was about job security is what it was.
Now, as a guard, you and your fellow guard, Fuzzy Thurston, you guys were keys to the Packer sweep that Vince Lombardi obviously made famous. What was the key to making that play so successful?
Combination. There were many things. Jim Ringo had to make an onside cutoff first on the defensive tackle. Force Greg had to set the defensive end up and then seal on the middle linebacker. The onside back, either Jimmy or Paul, depending on whether we're weak or strong, had to cut the defensive end down and not give him any pursuit. And the tight end, Ron Kramer or Marvin, whoever it happened to be, had to block the linebacker. Now, if all those things happened, Fuzzy and I would come around the corner and we'd find us a small defensive back and have some fun with him. It was wonderful to get out of 300 pounds and go out there on 170 and try to block there. But it was a play that we ran over and over and over. Instead of wind sprints, we ran sweeps.
I have to ask, I'm sure you've been asked this at least 500, if not 5,000 times, but the block on the sneak in the ice bowl, when you're in the huddle, the play is called, you're breaking the huddle, what's going through your mind? I mean, championship's on the line.
I suggested that play on Thursday, short yardage defense. We got a film with just third and one, third and two, third and three, fourth and one. They're short yardage defense. And so we studied the last three or four games of their short yardage defense. And Jethro Pugh, the kid that's about 6'7", And Bob Lilly's on one side, Jethro's on the other, and Bob, submarines, he's down. They line up with their buns in the air, and their noses about 12 inches off the ground, and Lilly just expends himself low and hard. So there's nothing you can do with him. Jethro's first move is up. And I see that in the first bit of the film. I went, wow, look at this. And I don't say anything till we watch the film two or three, four more different plays, right? And yeah. He's up, he's consistently up. His first move is up. And I say, Coach, we can wedge Pew if we have to.
What? We can wedge Pew if we have to. Run that back.
So he runs it back three or four times.
That's right. Put in a wedge on Pew.
Now you think, oh, it might be in the middle of the field, third and one, you know, in the second quarter.
Yeah.
It might be maybe even fourth and one on the 20. But you don't think on the one-yard line with 16 seconds to go, because you're not going to volunteer yourself at that point. You're not going to say, I can do it. And it was, you know, there's a time to gamble out there, and there's a time not to gamble. And this was a time not to gamble. And when you want to make a block, certainly you keep your head up, your eyes open, and you make contact with the guy's chest. And you watch that chest come towards you until you hit. Right? And that's the most certain way to make a block, and I certainly did it on that particular play.